noches a todos.
Good night, brother. Good evening to everyone. God bless. It's truly a blessing to be here with you. I was looking forward, especially since we couldn't make it last year. You know, it was double the excitement to be here with you, and it's so, so blessed to be here. Please receive greetings from the Odessa congregation, Midland, Andrews, Texas. We usually go to Andrews to preach every single Sunday of the month, but the first or second, and this time I needed to switch that Sunday, so receive greetings from west of Texas. This evening I want to share with you a passage in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, where the Bible says the following: Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So, in this beatitude, as we know it, we find a desire. We also find the object of that desire, and finally, the satisfying of that desire. And my objective in this lesson, this evening, is that each one should be able to state what it means to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and how that relates to being filled. So my aim is to help all to have a better understanding of the Beatitudes, especially the one that we're going to be speaking this evening. So let's read the context of this scripture, this verse, in Matthew chapter 5, but now we're going to read from verse 3 all the way through 10, so we can get the context out of it. The Bible says, Matthew 5, verses 3 through 10, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Finally, verse 10, Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So this passage begins the famous Sermon on the Mount. This sermon speaks concerning the character of those who will be in the kingdom of God. All who would be citizens of God's kingdom, I believe, should study and understand the context of this great sermon. So in this sermon, for a few minutes, we're going to focus upon the first part of the sermon, known as the Beatitudes. And remember that each beatitude has a particular form. There is in each one a declaration of blessing, a description of attitude, and a disposition of blessing. And each beatitude begins with the declaration of blessing. For example, the word itself, the word for blessing in Greek is makarios. And the word, that word contains the idea of happiness and contentment. Okay, so it's very important for us as Christians to know the true meaning of this great beatitude. So there is then the description of the attitude. Here is why these are called the Beatitudes. Because we as Christians need to have the right attitude in our lives. We are attitudes that describe who we are to be. So, people in society, our friends, our family members, our neighbors, you know, they need to know that we believe in Christ, that we're Christians, even if we don't tell them or invite them to church. Should, of course we should, but I'm saying that only, even with our attitude, they should know that, hey, they're different. You know, why are they still and have that joy even they went through a difficult situation? Well, is the attitude that we need to adopt. Well, then finally, there is the disposition of blessing. And this is the actual blessing itself and the reason for the happiness, all right? This is also what we can expect will result from having the attitude described. All right, so number one, we're going to dig into the desire, a desire of hunger and thirst. We all know what it means to be physically hungry. I mean, no one needs to teach us that. We all know it, right? We felt it before. We all know what it means to be physically hungry. And the desire of hunger is to eat food. Most eat three times a day. Hunger drives us to eat those meals regularly. The body needs fuel or it will starve and die. So there are built mechanisms to make sure that we physically desire food. But this is a spiritual desire that we're talking about. This hunger is a spiritual hunger. The desire of this hunger is spiritual food. And the question is, do we eat spiritually with the same regularity as we eat physically? Does our spiritual hunger drive us to Jesus? Well, it should. And the Bible says in John 6, listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verses 32 through 40. The Bible says, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33, John 6, 33. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He was talking about him. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Verse 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. What a beautiful promise. And that is exactly the spiritual food that we need to eat every single day. The teachings of Jesus. I love when it says, I am the bread of life. I mean, we see now in society, people are spiritually anorexic, I might say. They don't eat from the real food. They eat their own understanding. They eat their own thinking. And that's the reason why we see society decaying so much. I love the prayer of our brother. It was a wonderful prayer. Thank you, brother, for that prayer. That we pray to God that this wonderful and awesome nation, the government and everyone might repent and look back at what was the reason why this was a great nation. And people come from all over the planet to be here in this nation because it was founded in Christian values. That was it. That is why It is a great nation. And when we trust in Jesus, when we eat Him daily, spiritually speaking, then we will be blessed. Secondly, we have the desire of thirst, the Bible says. Now, again, we all know what it means to be thirsty. We know what it means. At its most basic level, it is to drink water, of course. And when we're thirsty, there's nothing like a good, cool glass of water. I mean, this is just amazing, right? The body will die within days if it doesn't have any water. But this is too a spiritual desire. Spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. The desire of this thirst is a spiritual drink. Do we drink from the water of life as often as we do physically? Does our spiritual thirst drive us to God? Well, listen to what it says, the same book in John, but just one page or one or two pages behind, in John chapter 4 and verses 5 through 15. The Bible says the following. It says, "So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Even though she didn't understand it at first and she didn't know what she was asking for, that is exactly what we should be asking every single day. Jesus, I need you. I need more of you. More about Jesus. And we sing it. We even have it in our songbooks, right? More about Jesus. I mean, what a wonderful feeling just to read the teachings of Jesus. And that is that really desire that is going to fulfill our thirst. What happens if we don't eat and drink spiritually? Well, we get weak. We get sick and we will die spiritually. That's how the world is right now, spiritually dead. Yes, they're walking. Yes, they're driving. They're active. They're spiritually dead because they don't have Jesus in their hearts. The prodigal son, the Bible says, was dead. In Luke 15:24, listen to what it says. Luke, a couple of pages back, Luke 15 and verse 24, it says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." That is exactly how we find today in our day and age, the society in our day. But There's hope. There's hope. There's always hope. And the darker the day and the night is, we need to preach even louder. We need to preach even louder and to speak truth with love. With love, the word of God. But it's true. Even the prodigal son was dead. For this, my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found. Even the Bible, remember when the apostle Paul was writing to Timothy and Paul said this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:6. 1 Timothy 5:6, he said, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And not only, you know, what he was referring to, but anyone that lives in pleasure is dead. Even living physically, spiritually, is dead. Second point, we're going to see the object of that desire of hunger and thirst, all right? And the object of that desire is righteousness. Now, what does that mean? What does righteousness mean? What does that word comes to mind? Well, let's see what the Bible says. This righteousness that we're going to be speaking is not of men. It's not of men. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:6 the following. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says the following. Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So we see very clearly that it's not our righteousness, this righteousness that we're going to be speaking, is not of man. In Matthew 5 and verse 20, listen to what Jesus said. Let's go back to the New Testament, the first book of the New Testament in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, Jesus said, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And finally, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and through 10, and after this passage, we're going to explain it, right? I just want to point out what the Bible says first. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, the Apostle Paul writing here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, it says, yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him. Listen. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That's the key. The key is the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. So this righteousness we see here is from God, is by faith. And guess what? The Bible says that it's found in the gospel. That is the main thing. This righteousness, first of all, from God, by faith, and found in the gospel. And we must submit to the righteousness of God. Not our own righteousness, but his righteousness. In Romans 10, 1 through 4, the same Apostle Paul, writing to our brethren in Rome, he wrote this in Romans chapter 10, and verses 1 through 4, listen what he wrote concerning Israel. He wrote this, Romans 10, 1 through 4, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a seal for God. And Paul said, yes, they have a seal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So then it's happening the same thing as right now. I mean, I've seen videos in YouTube of Christians walking in Israel that not every Jew, I'm not saying every single Jew, but I've seen videos where if you tell certain people in Israel that you're a Christian, they will spit in your face because you believe that Christ is the Messiah. And of course, they don't believe that Jesus from Nazareth was the Messiah. They're still waiting for the Messiah. And Paul, even back in the day, he's saying, man, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel. I mean, imagine Paul saying, I'm a Jew, I'm from Israel, and I want my people to be saved. But they don't want to. They don't want to understand that Jesus from Nazareth is the Messiah, right? They say, and he even, in verse 2, he acknowledged, he says, for I bear them witness that they have a seal for God. Of course, they want to serve God. Even today, they want to serve Jehovah, God, but not according to knowledge. Not according to knowledge. They want to serve God, but in his ignorance and by her own righteousness. I also was watching some videos that this Jew converted to Christianity, and then he went back to Israel and was walking the streets of Israel, and he interviewed people there walking, and he said, hey, brother, you know, in their own language, in Hebrews, or right? And he said, have you read the New Testament? And my surprise was, because before I thought that the Jews read the New Testament, and they went like, nah, the New Testament is completely wrong. You know what? It's not true. But 99% people that they were asked that question, even today, they have never read the New Testament. They have, in their own school, they have prohibited to read the New Testament. So how are they going to compare to the prophecies of the Old Testament? If they just read the New Testament, they will know that Jesus is the Messiah. So exactly Paul is saying right here, even in 2023, it's the same thing. Verse 3, for they've been ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. What a powerful statement, brother and sister, that you're sitting right here, right now in San Angelo, Texas. If you have Christ, you have everything. And I know that you have Christ. And we have everything. Everything. That is a wonderful thing. We have everlasting life because we acknowledge, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We've been baptized for the remission of sins. Man, that is a wonderful, wonderful feeling. Romans 1, 16 and 17. I know that you have, that you know this scripture by heart. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul said. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in what? In the gospel of Christ. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What a powerful, powerful thing. The gospel. The righteousness is in the gospel of Christ. And we know this. What is the gospel of Christ? Jesus came to this world. He died for us. He was buried on the third day. He resurrected. That is the gospel. That's it. Nothing more. Anything after that are the teachings that we need to follow to live a good life and to show that we're Christian and to invite people, of course. But that is the gospel. So anyone that believes this gospel is ready to confess and say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You're ready to be baptized for the remission of sins. That's it. That's simple, but powerful at the same time. Amen. See? Simple but powerful at the same time. Amen. Matthew 6:33. Listen to what it says. Matthew 6:33. Jesus speaking here, again, another scripture that we all know, but it's very important to what we are studying this evening. Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God. And what? And His righteousness. And all these things, what things? Food, shelter, employment, whatever you can think of. All these things shall be added to you. But first we need to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So, we must seek it first. You know, the world has it the opposite way. Well, if God bless me, if He gives me this and that, then I might consider, you know, follow Him. I might consider. But He has done everything. He has sent His own Son to die on the cross. So the ball is on our court. The ball is on our court now. And we need to act upon it. And it is something also, the righteousness of God, it is something that we must do to please God. 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. 1 John 3, 17, the Bible says, I said 17, it's 7. Sorry, 1 John 3, 7. Okay, it said, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. All right, little children. I love how John, you know, speaks. He's heartwarming and very awesome, the way that he speaks with a lot of love. Hey, little children. But he said, let no one deceive you. Right? He who practices righteousness is righteous. Just as simple as that. Just as he is righteous. So, hungering and thirsting after righteousness means to satisfy the daily desire that we ought to have as Christians. And that is to know God's word and to live God's word. Now, to leave God's word is not because we have to do His commandments. It's not that someone is behind us making sure that we're doing that. It's because when we do God's commandments, it's for our own benefit. You know, when God says, hey, forgive and forget. Forgive. It's for our own benefit. Because when people don't forget, do you think they're going to enjoy life? No. Do you think they're going to enjoy their family? No. Do you think they're going to enjoy when they go vacation? No, because they're going to be always thinking about what the other person did to him. So, when we follow God's commandments, for our own benefit, and that is going to satisfy us spiritually, and also even physically, because people that have grudges and are always mad with each other, they tend, you know, to live a shorter life in that sense, you know. And finally, the satisfying of that desire is to be filled. The Bible has what we need to eat and drink spiritually. Of course, 1 Peter 2:2, we know also this scripture. 1 Peter 2:2 says, desire the pure milk of the word. Very simple. Desire the pure milk of the world. Why do we get gathered together? Why we're here? Because we desire to know more about God's word. I mean, let me tell you something, and you know this. I mean, I married my wife Laura, and she like me. We're third generation Church of Christ, and her dad is a preacher, and my dad's a preacher. Our grandparents. So, best debates ever are not in the preacher studies. I at home, you know, when we read the Bible, hey, what about this? Hey, but what about that? No, but this and that in the context, and this and that. But I love that. That's our conversation, you know, about God's word. That is wonderful. And we love it. We desire that. And that's an awesome, awesome thing to desire. You know, when I can get enough. I cannot get enough of gospel meetings and being with my brothers and sisters. That's why I love being here with you guys. Like, I just love it. So good to see you all again and to be here worshiping God's spirit and in truth. It's best thing ever. Best thing ever. The Bible contains meat, the Bible says. Hebrews 5:14. It says, Hebrews 5:14. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, in the Bible, we have meal, we have meat, we have spiritual food. We need both to be spiritually strong and healthy. And God has given us an all-you-can-eat buffet, spiritually speaking, of His Word. Righteousness in His Word. There is enough challenge in this life to constantly desire spiritual food. I mean, we see nowadays what they're teaching at public school that is just horrendous. Horrendous. We need Jesus. We need the Word of God every single day. 2 Corinthians 13:5, we are exhorted to examine and try ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. So, what a wonderful thing that we have the Bible to test ourselves so we can, you know, challenge our beliefs and say, hey, this is what the Bible says. We need to follow it, right? This is our, like I always say, this is our fact checker right here. It's the Bible, right? It's nothing else. It is the Word of God. And we need to do this on a daily basis. Luke 9:23. Jesus said, and He said to them, Jesus said, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. That's the key word, daily. And follow Me. There is enough teaching in the Bible to last one a lifetime. I mean, what a wonderful thing to just keep, you know, digging into deep a little bit more into the Word of God. Lamentations 3:22-24, it says, I love this scripture. Lamentations 3:22-24, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Amen. What a wonderful and beautiful scripture. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in Him. 2 Timothy, remember 2 Timothy 3:15? When the Apostle Paul was writing to this young evangelist, and listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, well, let's read from 14 and 15. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15, it says, but you, Timothy, must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. From childhood you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able. Yes, the Scripture, the Bible, is able to make us wise, brethren. Absolutely. They are able. The question is, we need to. We need to desire, right? We need to desire. And in that sense, they are going to make us wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Will we eat of that which God has freely given? It's free. It's completely free. Freely given. Here is where we can satisfy our desires by learning what we need to know to please God, and then by making application or applying the Word of God in our daily lives, right? And when we do that, we're going to glorify God, but it goes beyond that. Yes, yes, we're going to glorify God, and that's wonderful, but it's for our own benefit, our own benefit. Society is going to get better as long as we get closer to God, and it's going to go south when we depart from the Word of God. So we need to do it for our own benefit. The Bible says that we must do doers of the word and not hearers only. James 1, 22-25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, here's the key thing, looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, right? Like continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. What will be the result of doing the word of God? We will be blessed, all right? We will be blessed. Any nation, any city, anyone that does the word of God will be blessed in what he does. We can be spiritually healthy or spiritually, like I said, anorexic. What is our choice? In conclusion, let us recognize the need for this great beatitude. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is a special blessing for all of us who hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is the lesson this evening. I want to close with Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. Revelation 22:17. The invitation is ours. I hope that I have said something that is benefit to us to remember that always we need to go after the Word of God. You know, just eat it. Manje, just eat it, drink it, live by it, apply it in our daily lives. And when we do that, it will be a benefit for our family, but to us, to society, to everyone we meet. This evening, if there's anyone that have not been baptized for the remission of sins, well, what are you waiting for? You just need to believe the gospel. Like I said, if you believe that Jesus came to the earth, was buried, and resurrected on the third day, you're ready to say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of sins. Let's stand up and sing the invitation song.